Welcome, welcome to the Sharp Way Show, 7 p.m. on the East Coast. And I know I have not been here for a couple of days. I know I've been crazy busy. I may even have abbreviated show even this evening. Some of you may know I am trying my best to finish my book that I've been talking about, which is coming out next month. Clearly, there's only 10 days till next month. So I am clearly rushing to finish my book. So I've taken some time off to sort of focus on that. So that's why I haven't been here that often, but I haven't forgotten about you all. I am here and I wanted to do another Ask Me Anything. I think it's important that we're able to kind of keep going and let you know that I'm still here, that kind of thing. But as always, I tend to begin with something to kind of get us going. And there's something that's kind of personal to me. And that is what I saw on the local news. It is an example of the problems that are affecting us more than anything today. The biggest problems that are affecting us today, and a lot of that is violence. You see it all over, right? We see it constantly. And something happened in New York City, in the Bronx, that bothered me tremendously. And I wanted to bring it up and some of the issues behind it. And that is, there was violence in an area called Concourse Village. Most of you, unless you happen to live in New York City, won't know where Concourse Village is. Concourse Village is in the South Bronx. I grew up in that area. So what I'm going to show you is a scene that really happened about maybe 5 to 10 blocks from where I used to live as a kid, where I grew up in the Bronx. So let me just show you and you'll see what I mean by this and why it bothered me.
Tonight, that terrifying shoot.
I want you to look at that right there. That's a young man who was trying to shoot another young man. And these are young. The guy in the red who was running happened to knock, as he's running away for his life because about to be shot, ran into a 10-year-old girl and a 5-year-old boy who were going to the store.
Being caught on camera in the Bronx.
He is firing right now. The little boy in the left-hand side in the blue is 5 years old. The girl in the purple is 10. These young men are trying to avoid the kids. Don't get me wrong. So I guess that's kind of good, I guess. I don't know. But we'll shoot this kid no matter what. Even though there is a 5-year-old boy and a 10-year-old girl there. And this is daylight. This is during the day. This isn't that night on some corner. This is daylight. The guy's got a mask on, right? Wearing a hoodie. What does that mean? He's out to get this other kid.
Two children escaping.
Right? Walks up right there. The kids are trying to escape. They're getting him trying to run. The little boy's shoe pops off. And he realized he's fired multiple times. Why do I bring up the multiple firing? This to the layman, that may not matter to you. Someone who is a trained assassin or even a trained marksman, period. And if any of you are gun guys, gun gals, you know what I'm talking about. You don't miss like this. That's not what happens. I hope I never have to assassinate anybody. But if I ever do, you know, you don't run and shoot. You stop steady and fire. You know, you don't put 15 rounds. You never bring your weapon to your You know that you don't miss like this. He's a clearly untrained people they're just throwing out there.
By a matter of
he still
inches.
Fires
you
and then
see
runs.
A 10-year-old little girl shielding her 5-year-old brother as the suspect sprays bullets.
Look at the boy. The boy doesn't know what to do. He's just screaming and yelling and stomping his feet. He has no idea what to do. Imagine if you were 5. Imagine if you're 5 years old, you with your sister, going to get whatever groceries you're going to get, whatever. You're getting some milk and some whatever. You're getting stuff. You're happy. You're out. COVID's over. Lockdowns are over. I'm heading out with my sister. I'm 5 years old. And now a guy is being shot at and you have no idea what to do.
Striking his 24-year-old target in the back and.
Little girl. She covers her brother. This kid, by the way, the kid in the red, who's a youngster also, they're both teenagers. He's been hit twice. He took a round in the back and a round in the leg. The assassin is such a newbie, doesn't know what he's doing. He figures, well, I hit him twice and let me run. He doesn't realize that you got to do more than that because the kid lived.
Both legs. Police say the victim, who has an extensive criminal history, may have tried to use the kids as cover.
I don't think that happened. He was running and he hit the kids. If you look at the thing, he wasn't trying to use the kids as cover. He was running for his life. He hit them. The kids don't know any better. They're 10 and 5 years old. They don't know what's happening. Here comes this. They're both young men. Young man is running for his life, knowing he's about to get shot. So he runs. He runs to the kids. He's just trying to escape. He doesn't grab the kid and put him in front. He's just trying to escape. He gets hit and keeps going.
I'm disgusted. I'm going to be honest with you. It's very alarming.
Stop. You shouldn't be disgusted. You've seen this shit 1,000 times, my friend. Stop that. Stop that stuff with the camera. Stop that stuff with the camera. You're not. That's a lie.
Children miraculously managing to avoid the gunfire.
This is the assassin, right? So why does this one bother me so much? Because the reaction is always the same. The reaction is, well, we need more cops, or, oh my God, we need stricter gun laws, or any of those things, right? We need those things, whatever. No. Why in the world would this guy be coming after this kid? Why would the guy in black be coming after the guy in red? Why? It's obvious. It's street justice. Somebody broke somebody's code or contract. That's why that happens. That doesn't happen because random bad guys want to be bad. No, it happens because street justice. This is a black market assassin. That's all it is. How do you know? He's incompetent. That kid should be dead. He's incompetent. They're trying to sell something back and forth. There's been a massive influx in drugs in America recently. But not just that. Half of these people are buying and selling stuff. They are robbing the packages left and right and selling the packages left and right. They're getting their either in unemployment or some public assistance and making money on the side. And it's all in the black market. Because it's in the black market, nobody in the world will help them. They don't have cops to help. They don't have anything to help them. So they have to do street justice. And you do it in the middle of the day. Why? Why in the middle of the day? To show that it doesn't matter and there's nowhere to hide. This is street justice. It is so obvious, so clear. That's what this is. You can get rid of guns. New York City has some of the harshest, if not the harshest, gun laws on the freaking country. If you come into New York City now with your legally owned firearm, legally purchased, legally owned, following every single TSA rule that there is, you will go to jail in New York City. I don't know how you can get stricter in New York City. Yet, this is what we have. Gun control works, right? Let's get guns off the streets. That's been working for how long? It doesn't. It doesn't. But I'm still not done. Well, you know, we need more cops. Great. Let's put more cops, because how'd that work in Prohibition in the 20s? You put more cops in the streets, and eventually what happens? Eventually the gangsters shoot cops. More cops died during the Prohibition period than any other period we ever had. Eventually, they start shooting cops, and now we have open warfare on the streets. Or the reverse. They say, why shoot cops? We'll just bribe them all, which also happened during Prohibition. We'll bribe a bunch of them. That's what we'll do. We'll make so much money in the black market, we'll just pay cops to not arrest us. And the cops go, wow, that's more money than I could possibly imagine. Deal. And that happened during Prohibition. Yet again, showing that Prohibition always works. When does it ever fail? Never. Nothing but good. Prohibition always fails. And now these two little kids are scarred. Now, not that the young men aren't scarred. Of course they are. But at a minimum, even though I feel bad for those young men too, but at a minimum, they did make a choice. Still sucks. And I still have empathy for the young men who made that choice. But a choice was made. Those kids, what choice did they make? Right? What did a 10-year-old girl and a 5-year-old boy, what choice did they make? Nothing. They're caught in an area where now they're scarred for life because they watched somebody get shot in front of them. They keep that for the rest of their life now. What choice did they make? Again, I have some empathy even for the shooters, but they made choices. They did make choices. Those, the 10-year-old, 5-year-old, they just wanted to go to the store. You can't go to the store? No, you can't. You can't. So what is my answer? Or what is my concern? Of all the things we're looking at in our country right now, and we're looking at many things. Everyone's talking about this, talking about that. Culture wars and wars overseas and everything else you could imagine. COVID, everything else. The number one thing we should be looking for, the cure-all that affects everything, every single thing, is purpose for young men. I know some of you be mad. Man, so does it matter about women? Of course it matters. Of course women matter too. Of course they do. 100%. 100%. But when women don't have purpose, sadly, and you know this, most women will go internally and they will hate themselves. Men will hate themselves too, but then they'll murder people. As you can see, the violence that's being done is not being done by women. It's being done by young men. Young men are killing people on the streets in daylight. Not even at night anymore. Even in good neighborhoods. It doesn't matter. Young men are murdering people. I care about women too. You matter. So do older people. They matter too. Yes, but who's killing the old people? Young men. Who's killing the women? Young men. When it comes to the murder part, which is a really big part, who's always doing that? Young men. Sometimes women, sometimes older men. It does happen, but it's so little. It's almost always young men. They need purpose. Why aren't they going back to work? See those stats too? Why aren't they going back to work? Why go back to work to feel like a drone in some company when I'm a young man trying to figure out what manhood's about? Why go be a drone in some job making $15 an hour? Or I can be a street enforcer and make thousands of dollars a week and feel powerful and hold a gun and be respected and have a purpose. Because my gang, my something. Yeah. And I know some of you are going, Larry, that's insanely stupid. And insanely common. Both of those things. It is both stupid and common. So you can be mad and go, well, these guys are dumb. Great. You can call them dumb while they're putting a bullet in your head or shooting a 10-year-old child. He's dumb. They're shooting you. I don't care if he's dumb. I would like him to not shoot 10-year-olds. He didn't in this case, but we've done that in New York City. We had a 12-year-old get shot, a 16-year-old get shot. We've done that too. So in this case, we're lucky. No children were killed. That's a good thing. That's not unheard of in my city. That happened all the time. Rochester too in New York State. Rochester also, violence that is no tomorrow. Yes. We have to start focusing on purpose for young men. I don't hear that. I hear write people checks. I hear let's worry about, I don't know, equity for other people, which is fine. I'm not against any of these things. This is not one thing or the other. It's all of it. Priority on men having more purpose. If they don't have purpose, they will take up whatever is out there. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't matter if it's violent. No matter what, they have to find purpose. It is the number one thing. It is not the only thing. It is the number one thing. We have to focus on this. Otherwise, we are literally going to be murdered in the street. That's what's happening now. We have to focus on that. I don't see a massive piece for that. So let me take a couple of comments if I could. Now, some of you could disagree with me. I get it. Some of you don't like it. This bothers me. It's my old neighborhood and it's children and I'm a father, so I'm bothered. So some of you may not like that, I know, but that's where my head is. Andrew, hi, how are you, my friend? Good seeing you. Torrance, good to see you. Yes, I'm back for today. I am, but I got to get back on my book, but I am back for today. I am. Adam, ask Larry anything. I owe you a call, Adam. I haven't forgotten you. It's been crazy busy. What are your thoughts on world peace and pineapple on pizza? All right, two things. I think world peace would be a wonderful thing. And if there's something I could do to make it better, I think it'd be great. I think an imposed world peace will not work. I think a world peace would happen as we open up our, if we open up ourselves more to trust, I think there will be small border wars, but eventually we could get to a spot where we stop using violence as a solution. The people will stop using violence as a solution if they have other solutions that they believe to be fair, even if they're not fair. I know that sounds terrible, but even if they're not fair, if people believe the solution is fair, they will use that solution over violence. So we have to create solutions for people that don't result in violence. This is a perfect example of this, Adam. These kids on the streets believe this is a solution to it. They're basically enforcing contracts. And that sounds so crazy, but that's what they're doing. They're enforcing contracts. And everybody says, Larry, what are you talking about? You know, no one else enforces contracts that way. Yeah, because we have cops and courts. When you have cops and courts, they enforce your contract. Well, they're not violent. Cops have guns. So they could be. They put you in prison. So they could be. These guys don't have that. Street justice is how they work it. Pineapple on pizza should be against the law. And if you have pineapple on pizza, I'm pretty much, you know, libertarian with the exception of pineapple on pizza. People have pineapple on pizza unless you are from Hawaii. That is your own. You need to show me a driver's license that says Hawaii or birth certificate that says you were born in Hawaii, one of the two. Otherwise, if you have pineapple on pizza, you should just go to jail for life or be executed. Either is fine. Whatever. Pineapple does not belong on pizza. Clearly, I'm joking, guys. Don't go crazy. But yes, I'm not a fan of pineapple on pizza at all. Yes. So yes. Yes, I kind of did answer your question, didn't I? Francis says, very disturbing. It must stop. I agree. And more gun laws isn't going to do it. And more cops isn't going to do it. Right? That's not going to change it. These guys are doing this in broad daylight. It is a cultural shift to change what is right and good with these young men. Remember, what we don't get, all of this is some form of gang violence. Kids have to join the gang, right? They have to join the gang. Well, if they have some other purpose, well, they don't join the gang, do they? Because they're doing the other thing. But if they're not doing the other thing, if they're not gaining some ability to be around positive male role models or to do something that makes sense or to feel like they join a gang and they start shooting people or getting shot. So yes. Dr. Thunder says, like, share, and subscribe. Yes, he's correct. You should do that, guys. You should, to the best of your ability, please like, comment, share. If you like what I'm saying, if you think it's awesome, please like, comment, share. I hope you at least enjoy the conversation. It is very helpful. Thank you for that. Yes. Jimmy says, I can't believe I'm seeing something like this. Jimmy, it bothered me a lot. That's why I'm doing it. That's why I'm showing it. It bothered me for several reasons. One, My daughter just turned 11. This girl's 10. I connect. This is my old neighborhood. Connect. Those two young men, you can see he didn't want to shoot the kids, which I guess is there's a little bit of redemption in him, I guess, a little bit. He's not 100% bad. He's like 99% bad. But he didn't want to shoot those kids, but he didn't stop. He was like, I got to enforce this, and I'm enforcing street justice. I hope the kids don't get shot. He clearly wasn't a good shot. He missed his target, I don't know how many times. So terrible, terrible. I'll give him a little bit, right? I'm even going to give this thug the benefit. I give everyone to the best of my ability to benefit of the doubt. He is not 100% bad. He tried not to hit the kids. So he's like 99% bad. Benjamin says, that's ruthless. A Rochester woman was executed in front of her kids in her car. Wow. Wow. What did she do that someone deemed was so horrible that she should be killed in front of her kids? Think about that. Somebody deemed that whatever she did, they thought that it was worthy of being executed in front of your kids. This is where we are now. Those poor kids are going to a lifetime of trauma. Yep, that bothers me. Benjamin, I'm with you, man. A friend of mine broke up two women being assaulted today. I can't live in this world. What I can almost guarantee you, Benjamin, is the person who shot that woman was a young male. Young male. Probably following orders from some senior male in his world to do this. This is almost always that. Not always. There are crimes of passion that happen, blah, blah. But yeah. Yes. Yeah. So Pete says 160 Republicans and one Democrat think we remain at war with Saddam Hussein regime. Oh, is that true? Well, there we go. Because that matters. Yeah. You know what we should do? Let's this is even better. Let's send our young men into combat in Iraq or Afghanistan or Syria or whatever. Let's put them in the military. That gives them a purpose. That's good. And then messes them up. And then when they come back, there's nothing for them. So they fall back into this. You think some of these guys aren't veterans? Or into homelessness? Or into suicide? Yeah, not good enough. But thank you. I get what you're saying. I do. Adam says probably a blood initiation. It's possible too, Adam. That does happen. But even if it's a blood initiation, and for those who don't know, that means you to get in the gang or to get promoted or whatever it is, you have to, you know, do some form of violence, whatever that is, right? Beat somebody up, shoot somebody, stab somebody, kill somebody, whatever is the initiation of the gang. So perhaps it is. But if it is, this guy was targeted for a reason. This kid was targeted for a reason. So they thought he did something wrong or didn't join the gang or didn't pay his debt or whatever they think is what he should have done. These young men need something else to do. Jay says, hi, Larry. What can the average person do to change the culture for the better? This is really hard, Jay. It is. And as a general rule, the best thing you can do is provide a good example. I know that seems so cheesy. I know it does. But it's true. The best thing you can do is provide a good example for others to follow. Most people want to follow people that they respect. When I mean follow, I don't necessarily mean follow as in do everything they say. I don't necessarily mean that. Some people will. If someone's totally lost in their life and they're requiring and needing something, and no matter how cool you think you are, you've been there. I've been there too. We've all been in a point in our life where we're like, I don't know what to do. If you're in that world and that's where you are in your life, you might need someone to just kind of copy because you're in a bad spot. But even people who aren't in a bad spot, they like to hang around people, be around people who they respect. That's a normal human thing. Well, Jay, if you can be that person that they respect and they want to be around you, and someone who is not needing at that moment, they're good in their own self, they're good, then they're just going to hang around you because they like you. But if someone's needing something at that point, if they're in a bad spot in their life, then they begin to emulate you, follow you because they need that at that point, right? And it isn't just violence. It's anything. We find people that we want to follow or get behind in all different arenas, right? We find it in male-female relationships. We find it in father-mother relationships. We find it in into a parental piece. We find it in religion. We find it in politics. We find it in our jobs, right? So there could be someone who's good at a job and we'll kind of follow them a bit, right? Oh, how do they do things? Let me learn from this person because they're savvy or smarter. We do it religious. This person is more spiritual than me in the religion that I'm in. And I'm going to follow that person. Maybe they're going to give me some advice. Political, this person's going to give me some advice. Let me follow that person for a little bit. We do it often. It's common. The issue that I think we want to do is we want to try to be the person that someone else would follow. And the more of us who are that person that someone else would follow, whether that's professional, spiritual, political, whatever the case may be, parental, sibling, the more we are that person, the more others want to follow us. And what I keep seeing and hear is the same thing I talk about. You don't have enough positive male role models. And for those of you who know this, I'm not trying to take away the female aspect here. I'm not. I know it may feel that way. I'm missing the result to society is a whole lot more violent when young men aren't doing something. It's a whole lot more violent than when older men don't have it. When older men don't have purpose, things are bad too, but they tend not to be as violent as younger men, unless they're in a power, in which case they'll just do things like monetarily, right? To gain their power. But this is for younger men on the streets. So older women who have power, well, it's the same thing, right? They have power. Powerful women who are lost will also be mean and bad as anybody who is lost, right? I'm just saying the violence piece is specific to young men. The prisons are filled with young men, right? So that's why I'm bringing up young men in this case. I know some of you don't like that, but I'm just being forward. That's how that works. So in this case, these young men need someone who they respect to go, well done, young man, without it being violent. Can you be that person? Can you be the person who will say, Well done, young man, without that thing that the person is doing being violent. That's the issue. Jimmy says, yes, but violating NAP as a retaliation, another violation of a NAP is not the answer, except for self-defense. But obviously, this isn't. Yes, I'm not validating this. I'm sorry. I hope it didn't come across like I was validating his actions. Oh, my God. I hope it did. If it came across that way, let me try to clarify. I was not in any way excusing what the young man in black did. I am not. I hope that was, wow, I hope I didn't come across that way. That was not my goal. Maybe in my emotion, maybe in the way I said it, made it come across that way. No, what I was saying is I was explaining what he's doing. Explaining is not excusing, right? You ask some, you ask some guy why he killed his brother. Why'd you kill your brother? Well, because he slept with my wife. Okay, that explains it. It's still bad, go to jail, still wrong. That's not an excuse, but I understand why. Your brother slept with your wife, you got mad, and you revenge, you shot him. Okay, I understand why you did it. Again, not excused. I'm explaining why these guys are doing it. It is street justice, so we could stop that requirement for street justice by eliminating the black market to the best of our ability and providing more value and more purpose for these young men so they won't be joining gangs and being in a black market. So I hope that's clear. You guys making Chicago look like South as far as gun laws go. Yeah, our gun laws are terrible, Dave. They are. And you know, Chicago too. Lots of problems, same issues. And it's all street justice. That's what it is. Yes. Logic says gun control has never worked, and gun control is literally rooted in racism. Yes and yes. Yes and yes. Absolutely. Yes. So Adam says the only solution left. Oh, gun control, only solution left. The funny part, Adam, is if you notice, when they talk about this, they always specify gun violence. Because I think you're right. I think people believe that. They think, well, what else can we do? I mean, you know, we have to so get rid of the guns because that'll make it magically go away. I think they believe that. And the problem that we have is, if people think banning guns will work, in New York City, we have basically already banned guns. I mean, not officially, but for all intents and purposes, unless you are current or former law enforcement, you're not going to have a gun legal. Sorry, you're going to have a gun clearly. You're not going to have a gun legally. So we have basically in New York City already banned guns. And this still happened. This happened, what, 2 days ago? This happened 2 days ago. This isn't from like, you know, I don't know, the 70s. This is 2 days ago. So I think we have basically banned, and this is what's happened. Banning guns isn't going to work. I mean, but we always say gun violence. Well, what happens if you hit him with a bat? Is it called bat violence or knife violence? It's only gun violence. That's all it is. Avi says, who needs purpose when visiting on a couch and being a parasite onto society pays so well? I'll tell you who, Avi. These guys do. They could be sitting on the couch right now and vegging. They could be. In fact, both little guys are probably getting some form of public assistance or unemployment. They probably are. So they're getting a check already. So they could stay home, but they're young men and they're trying to find a purpose and meaning. They're trying to find something bigger than themselves because that's what people want in general, right? Young men too. Everyone wants this, right? But when young men don't get it, who do all the thugs always go after? The gang leaders. Who do they go after? They don't go after the young women. They don't go after the old men. They don't go after the old women. No, they go after the young men. And they get them. And they pull them off the couch, put a gun in their hand. Is he going to be a big man? And he goes, yeah, I do. I'm going to be a man. I'm going to be powerful and respectful and cool and stuff. And they go, I got you. Come on. This guy over here in the red? All right. Tell me how big you are. Take this. Take care of him. And I'll make you captain on the street right now. Boom. That's what's happening. So they could, Avi, they could be on the couch. They're not. So, all right. Compulsory military service, not a good idea to me. I'm not against the military. I never have been. I was a Marine for 7 years. It was the best thing I could have done. But compulsory is the problem, right? Most of these guys in gangs are not forced into gangs. Some are. That does happen. When neighborhoods get so gang infested, some of the people get forced into the gang, or they literally become the victim. This goes back to the thing you were talking about earlier about kind of the blood initiation, right? So it will happen. If gangs become so infested in a neighborhood, they will basically encompass all the young men in the neighborhood, using the area of, say, about 15-ish, 14-ish, all the way into your 20s. They would just take everybody and put them in a gang. And you go, I don't want to be in your gang. Well, then you get shot. So you can be in a gang or you can get shot. That will happen only when the gang is completely infiltrated the neighborhood. Prior to that, most of these people are volunteering to get into the gang. So if you want to join the military, I'm up for it. Enjoy. Do what you think is appropriate in your world. But I'm not okay with, if you're forced to do it, then it's not really your mission. It's not really your purpose. So, and I don't want to force people in general. But even if I wanted to force people, it wouldn't work. Because if I force you, it's not a mission, it's not purpose, it's forced. So I wouldn't, even if I was for forcing, I'm not, it still wouldn't work. So it's got to be voluntary either way. So yes, John says, guns not the problem, kills will find a way to kill if guns are not available, hence more people are killed with hammers and hands more than guns in this country. Valid point. UK, prior to COVID, the UK had a higher murder rate than New York City, and it was all with knives. You're correct. Yes, absolutely. David says, young men need a purpose. It's happening all over the USA. There's a lack of purpose, a lack of morals, a lack of good male role models. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Lori says, you just said it was. Did I misspeak somehow, Lori? If you're still watching, please tell me what I just said. Did I make an error in my speech? I think I said something wrong and something didn't come across correctly. So, because Jimmy, I think, thought, Jimmy took what I said as meaning it was, I was validating this. So I might've said something incorrectly in my emotion, Lori. So if you could please let me know what I said, I might not have, I might have thought whatever you thought I said, but I just want to be clear. What do you think I said? Cause I was emotional. I may have misspoken. It's possible. Francis says character development and true purpose of productive citizenship must be part of the solution. Yeah. I mean, I got to tell you, years ago, when I was trying to find my political home and I felt homeless, particularly in the 90s, I felt homeless after Bill Clinton. And I was like, what am I going to do? Right. So I voted for Perot in 96 because I was like, he's just not them. And then in 2000, I voted for Nader. And the reason why I voted Nader wasn't because of his policies. I didn't know any of them, and I still don't actually. But I remember an interview, and he was talking about something. He was saying, if you ask someone to identify who they are, and they were to name the things that they are, they will say things like, you know, depending upon who they are and what matters to them, they'll often put things that matter to them to the top. So if family matters, they may begin with, I'm a mother, or I'm a sister, or I'm a daughter, right? If that matters most, or if you're religious, I'm a Christian, or I'm a Muslim, whatever. They might do that first, right? If that matters to them. Or they might say other things. I'm a New Yorker, or whatever's important to them. They'll begin to list things. For sake of argument, if it's me, I might say, you know, something like, I'm a father, I'm a libertarian, right? I might mention these things. And he said, at what point on your list is citizen? And he said, and this is in 2000, at least I remember the interview from 2000. He said, too many Americans, that's not even in the top 10. And I think that's a part, right? Understanding and accepting in your heart what it is, what it means to be a citizen for you, right? For you, not necessarily what I decide is good for you as a citizen, but from what you decide is good as a citizen in your community, in your neighborhood, in your state, in your nation. If you find value in that, then how do you say, where's that land? And then how do you become a better one, right? If I were to say father, or if you were to say sister, mother, daughter, whatever is important in your life, right? Whatever, then you would define, am I good at that thing, right? I care about being a sister. Okay, am I a good sister or no? If you care about it, you probably should be good at it. And however you judge yourself. So I think your point's very, very good point. I wish more Americans would have citizen in their top 10 and then decide, what does that mean to be a good citizen? And then to work from there. It's a very valid point. Thank you for that, Francis. I appreciate that. So Dixie says, Larry, you're running for New York City mayor, hypothetically. What things/program steps do you implement to give young men purpose? Number one thing I want to do, which helps everybody. I never want to do something that only helps young men, right? I don't like that concept of, oh no, I'm just going to help young men. I want to do stuff that will help anybody. However, I know that it will help young men more, if that makes any sense, right? That's always going to be my idea. And I know that young men are a priority, but again, not the only thing that matters, right? They, in my view, right now in New York City, they are a priority because of the violence. So I would do something like, as an example, turn all of the licensing that we have now in New York State, or New York City at least, for sure, and try to force New York State into credentialing. What does that mean? That now you can begin to do the thing you want to do to make money, and you can do it legally without having to have a license. But if you want to get a credential, you can. So I'm allowing people to begin to open up their own businesses, open up their own places, right? That kind of idea. A lot of these men don't want to go to violence. Some of them do, without question. But if I know young men, and I know young men pretty well, the average young man just wants to be part of something. And if he has to, if he believes, let me be clear on my language, if he believes that the best way is to be violent, then he will. If he thinks there is a better or easier way, he'll take that better or easier way. So I'm saying, don't go out and shoot people. Help me start this new business. Help me start hustling. A lot of these guys want to hustle. They do. They want to hustle and make money. They want to feel like big shots. Okay, let's start a new business. So that's one of the most important things I would be focusing on, is getting people to start new businesses. Critical aspect, without question, big deal, getting people back in action to start the businesses going again, because I want youngsters to get back in there. I also want to make sure, if you have anything, that I allow internships to be easier, to get men back together with other men doing stuff. Again, this helps women too. In fact, to be, some of you may not know this, but most of the new legal small businesses now, it's been a massive increase in females doing it. And I'm finding women doing it too, right? Because these women who will become entrepreneurs will also hire the young men. And then they can be the one going, well done, young man. It doesn't have to be a man who says, well done, young man. It can be a woman too. It's fine. But someone who they respect who says, well done, young man. So now if I can get some of these women also on top, growing up there, growing their businesses, they can hire a bunch of these young men, have them do the job and go, well done, young man. That's what I'm trying to achieve. I want to make sure that there are more places where people are saying, well done, young man, but other people are also helped. That's what I'd be focusing on more than anything. I hope that was clear. Ed says, laws don't work because a temporary problem can't be solved with a permanent problem. Temporary problems can't be solved with a permanent problem. The problem with young men is basically the psyche, because we seem when they get too much in the comfort zone, emotional issues, and are watching porn, have these urges excessively. Most of the time when people are taking those types of video games, porn, drugs, these are temporary highs that hide a pain that they have, right? There's something missing, and they often don't know what that is. Young men have been notorious for doing it with sleeping with lots of women for a temporary high to feel like they've conquered a woman, but then there's something inside them that they're missing. And I think you're right. This is a temporary high, a temporary feel good. It doesn't fill the gap that's in them somehow. Happens with women too, right? As a general rule though, and again, some of you be angry when we're saying it, but as a general rule, you find women are more likely to actually punish themselves. Men are more apt to punish others, particularly young men. They're more apt to just, you know, be very aggressive and do things outwardly and attack others. All the bullying that we hate, young men, most of the crime that we hate, young men. Right? All these things are constantly young men. So they tend to strike at a whole lot worse than all other categories. So yeah. Sandra says, prohibition was a push from Rockefeller to completely use gasoline instead of alcohol and automobiles, making him wealthier and in control of temptation. Oh, I have heard that before. Same thing with gun control. It's not for our safety. It's for the few to control the many. Yes, absolutely. Yes. So Torrance says, any advice for a 24-year-old who has lost his sense of purpose? Yes, much of it. In fact, I'm writing a book on exactly that, Torrance. Hopefully, it will come out next month. If I get back to writing it, then it'll come out next month, and you can read it. But general rule, purpose, there's several different types of purpose. One of them is to simply be being part of something bigger than you. I'll give you an easier way of doing it, and then a harder way of doing it. An easier way of doing it. Look at the people who are around you right now. And the people who are around you, whether they're family or friends, whoever they are there some of those people who you really prefer hanging around? You like to be talking to, or, you know, DMing or hanging out with, whatever. A couple of those people. Look at those people and see, are any of them part of some association, part of some group, part of something that is bigger than just your inner circle? Whether that could be something as silly as gaming, but it could be something as big as, you know, saving the world from something. You find that one of the reasons why things like flat earthers, people laugh at flat earthers. I don't. Q, people laugh at Q. I don't. Because whether the flat earthers or the QAnon people are right or wrong, man, they have purpose, don't they? Yeah, they do. They have purpose. And that is people looking for purpose. That's what that is. People looking for purpose. That's what that is. So they found people around them that they enjoyed hanging out with and said, what are you guys doing? And they went, well, I'm part of this Flat Earth Society. And they went, that's amazing. I'll jump on board because. And now they're part of that world, not because they actually care whether the world's flat or not. Some people obviously do. Top people always, you know, they're always part of the deal, right? But the average person is like, I just have a purpose and I like being with people and I love this, so I'm going to stay here. And if the world happens to be flat, great. And if it isn't, that's great too. That's a sense of purpose. Sense of belonging to something bigger than yourself. That is a very easy way to find kind of like a social purpose. Say you don't have that. That's okay. You can find a family purpose. And a family purpose usually is something like looking at someone who you consider family, sister, brother, cousin, aunt, grandma, whatever the case may be, and thinking about what's their current purpose and supporting that. That could be grandma trying to survive, you know, her chemotherapy, be around her. That's a great purpose, right? Trying to support her. That could be a sibling or a niece or nephew who needs some guidance and they're trying to do something and you get behind them and you become a mentor for them. That could be a brother or sister who is in trouble and you want to help them. Or the reverse, who's doing very well and you want to get on board. Let's move this thing forward. Purpose is almost always something outside of you. So socially, you look for others who are doing something. Join that. Easy to do. Or family, someone who is trying, who has a purpose themselves. Can you support them? If none of that works for you, you can go find your own. Finding your own is a whole lot harder, right? Finding your own purpose is a whole lot harder. That's usually thinking of something in the world today. If it's social, is there something that you think is wrong or bad? That if you could change it, you would. Would you do it? Okay, great. You would do that. You care about that. You would get up in the morning caring about that. Great. How do I start to make that happen, right? My social purpose in many cases has been this movement, right? And so I get up every morning and I do this almost every day. I'm not writing a book. So this is my purpose. So this is what I'm doing, right? This is how, those who know me, I will swap purposes constantly. It's not healthy at all, but I do it constantly because I will often help others to find their purpose or I will help others in their purpose. But that also becomes my purpose. Helping someone can also become my purpose. As you see me just jump on the question you just asked me, now I'm trying to help you get find your purpose. So that's kind of my thing. But you have to try to find yours. Now, it mightn't be individual. Individual. And here I would ask you, individually, you personally, Torrance, if you can't make something happen, if something's not working for you, what can you take charge of to begin to move forward? And I'll tell you this story myself. Some of you know the story. In 2010, I was completely lost. I was broken, totally lost, totally broken. Overweight, eating pizza like there's no tomorrow. And I finally decided that, you know, I've got to do something. And I couldn't take care of anything. Some of you know the story. My wife had moved into the hospital because my daughter was in hospital at the time, 18 days old with heart surgery. My business had collapsed. I was firing my employees, getting into my office. My mother was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. She was dying. Bad. Everything could be bad. And I was sitting at home in denial, depression, shoving pizza and soda in my face, eating my emotions for months. So how could I handle that? I took care of my diet. That worked for me. And it doesn't work for everybody, but that worked for me. I just took control of my diet and I did a harsh diet. I did the no carb, low carb diet, and I was fanatical for months. And gaining control of that, my purpose became controlling my weight. It was a personal thing for me to do that. And doing that allowed me to do other things, right? Once I had that control, I did other things. Some people become gym rats. Some people read, learn a language. I mean, it doesn't have to be that thing. That's what worked for me. And I'm not even saying you should all do whatever keto. It's fine. You can do keto if you want to. If you like keto, please do it. I'm saying it worked for me. This goes back to what I was talking about with Adam. The Marine Corps worked for me. Doesn't mean you should join the Marine Corps. You do what works for you. So I think those are many ways you can begin to find some type of purpose, if that makes any sense. I hope that was clear. Hope that was helpful. So, sorry. Leah says, men need to be allowed to have feelings, good ones, bad ones, and everything in between. Yes. I teach our daughters. Men need to allow room for. Yes, yes, and yes. Absolutely, yes. They don't eat pineapple on pizza in Hawaii. Is that true? Have I been lied to about that, Lepke? Is that true? Okay. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay. Look, maybe I'll change my policy. Maybe everyone should just be jailed or executed. I was giving people in Hawaii a pass. Maybe I shouldn't. Okay. Everyone who eats pineapple pizza should be jailed or executed. Thank you, Lepke. That's better. Yes. Chrissy, pineapple pizza lovers' lives matter. No, they don't. No, they do not. Incorrect. Pineapple pizza party. That's it, Torrance. Everything I said, I take back. David says, not for a compulsory service. We need to get back to our lives. We need to get God back in our lives. You know, you bring up a good point. Religion can also be a purpose too, right? It depends upon the person, which is why, if you remember, those of you watching, I spent so much time talking about not closing down churches during COVID. Because for a lot of people, that becomes their social purpose. For a lot of people, religion or church or your temple or wherever you go becomes a part of your social structure. It can become part of your purpose. It can make you a better person. And I'm a Christmas Easter Christian, so I'm not a guy who goes to church all the time. Not who I am. It doesn't mean that other people don't use it in a way that assists them tremendously. So I'm with you, David. You should absolutely use whatever tools you can to include faith. If that is what helps you get through, of course. Yes. John says, I missed you, Larry. You must have been busy with the book and a governor campaign workup. Not yet. Let me get my book first, John. Book first. Yes. Book first. Yes. All right. Let's see here. Benjamin says, the car assaulter in the suburbs was a male. Yeah, we go. Yes. Of course he was. Yes. Absolutely. John says, Larry Sharp, excited to see you at the LPMI convention. We have a vending table. I will be there. I'm going to the Libertarian Party of Michigan. I'm going to their convention this weekend. I will be there. And then I will be at Freedom Fest the month after. I'll be speaking at Freedom Fest. So both. Yes. Blaze 19 says, no political ideology can stop this. Hold on. No political ideology can stop by this. It's a sign of a society in a death rattle. Flee the cities. You know, there's a part to what you're saying that's true, and the part that we can control, or no, control is the wrong word, that we can modify. How about that? Maybe it's a better word. Right now, we're in trouble. That's true. Clearly, it's true. Anyone doesn't see that is not paying attention. We're in trouble now. We're in trouble for many reasons. One, our society is fracturing even more than it ever has been in maybe forever, maybe since the Civil War. It's fracturing more and more and more. That is the biggest problem. Because as they fracture, it's easy for us to create rules and regulations that just punish the other. And as we focus on punishing the other, we wind up punishing ourselves. That's the problem. As we try to always punish the other, we punish ourselves. Like the other gentleman brought up to that, I forgot who it was, who was talking about gun control being racist. Right, gun control was originally put in place, to keep guns out of the hands of former slaves. Seems to make sense. They might get guns, go kill their former masters, right? If I'm one of the former masters and I'm in charge, good deal. But the problem is you couldn't go, oh, it's just for black people. So what winds up happening? As you punish the other, you wind up punishing yourself. War on drugs in the 80s and 90s, heavily pushed into black neighborhoods. Now, trashing all neighborhoods. So as you begin to punish the other, you will eventually punish yourself. And that's what I think we see happening now. I still believe in my heart the best way to deal with this is the Liberty Movement, because it allows you to be you without forcing you to be somebody else. It opens up the dialogue to make changes. It allows for more freedom for people to find purpose in different ways. We don't have that now. Can I pre-order your book? You'll be able to either pre-order or order it July. So in July, that will happen. I'm not 100% sure what date it will be, but it'll be coming soon. So yes, eventually you'll be able to. I'm not sure yet, but it will. Yes. Matt says, it drives me crazy. We have this community who pushes nonviolence and freedom, and it just feels like every time we take a small step forward, there's a story like this, and it feels like as a society, we take five steps back. It's frustrating, disheartening. Makes me fearful for my 11-year-old growing up in this world. Matt, I am with you. I also have an 11-year-old. Yes, I am completely with you. It does bother me constantly. As we put people, it's a saying I've said many times, desperate people do desperate things. When we put people in desperate situations, they do desperate things. And the response is always, but Larry, bad people do bad things. This is true. And again, that's always going to be true, right? No matter what we do, there will be some bad people who need to be locked up. That is going to happen no matter what. Yes. But that isn't going to be massive unless they can recruit a bunch of other people to do their bidding also. And that only happens when we put people in desperate situations to where they start saying yes to the knuckleheads who are going to be bad anyway. The individual bad guy or gal is a bad guy or gal. I got it. But she doesn't get to recruit people if the people are happy. It's just her being bad or him being bad. That's it. But when we have bad situations like we have now in New York City and many cities, to Blaze's point, well, now they can recruit thousands of people versus just a few bad apples that we're going to have in a society no matter what. So you don't get mass violence. You don't get this kind of thing without a black market and unhappy people. When people are happy and there's a tiny black market, you only have individuals who are doing bad things. You don't have groups on a mass level. It's not what humans do. We take these steps back because we think force is the answer. And every time you think force is the answer, it is a temporary solution. To Ed's point, it works initially, but then you have to have other societal changes. Otherwise, it just gets worse. And again, prohibition in the 20s, our current war on drugs. The examples are with us. Again, New York City has the harshest gun laws in the country. If you have a gun, you will do 5 years in prison and you didn't fire it. This guy's attempted murder. At least attempted murder, if not whatever they're going to give him. At least that, if not 3-4 other charges, plus a gun charge. He gets caught, he's doing at least 25 years. At least, if not 30 or 40. I don't know how much harsher can we have our gun laws in New York State. And he still did it in broad daylight. So I'm not against cops. Bring more cops, great. But then change the policies, because violence is a very good short-term solution. It will work short-term. Ed's right. Short-term, violence works. Short-term. Okay, now how do you make the changes so that when that short-term is now over, there's actual changes, people don't go back? We don't seem to learn that, Matt. We don't seem to learn that. So, yes. All right. Let's see if I can keep going here. Redick says, be the change you want to see in the world. Do one to others. Lead by example. All that good stuff. Yes, yes, and yes. Absolutely, yes. Toron says, we should take our shaming and cancel culture and start shaming cancerous behavior. But it won't happen because of wokeness. Toron, I disagree. I disagree with it won't happen. Statement one, yes. Statement two, no. I agree with the first statement. We should. Look at both sides of the political coin right now, the same coin. Look at Trump and Cuomo, right? Harsh, forward, open, aggressive Republican. Harsh, open, aggressive Democrat. And they hate each other, right? Clearly. And when stuff came at them, what'd they do? I'm so sorry, everybody. No. No. They went, no. Shut up. They basically just said that. Both of them. And neither was really punished. I do think there is a backlash now against the wokeness, as you use in quotes. And I do think we have to do that. I've said it openly. When, if you remember the one show I did, when I talked about the woman who was fired from, was it Teen Vogue? I think that was correct. The young lady who was fired from Teen Vogue. She had made some, I guess, questionable or anti-Asian or what could be seen as anti-Asian tweets like 10 years ago or something, whatever it was. And when she came aboard, she had already apologized for it because it was found in like college or something. It's like, look, sorry, I was a crazy, mad high school kid, said some dumb stuff. Totally sorry. Shouldn't have said it. I was wrong. Made the whole apology and meant it, right? Then she's going to get hired at Teen Vogue. And people said, well, look, she did these things. And they said, we know. She's apologized. It's all fine. The workers at Teen Vogue, some of them got upset, did the homework, went in the back, pulled up and complained. I would have fired all of those workers. Openly, aggressively, literally fired them. Call them the pieces of garbage that they are, the terrible human beings that they are, and fire them publicly and leaked all their names. That's, and not leaked, blatantly plastered their names everywhere. I would have plastered names everywhere. That's what I would have done, regardless of any outcome or backlash that I would have taken. And here's what I know. If I was that boss and I would have done that, I would have been seen as a hero. And those people will go, oh, wait a minute. So the cancelers can become the canceled? Yeah. Yes. The cancelers can become the canceled. And they need to know that. They need to know that the cancelers can become the canceled. And right now, that almost never happens. We have to turn that game, right? We got to look. Who can cast the first stone? He who is without sin, cast the first stone. I'm not throwing stones. So I'm just saying that's the issue, right? So I do believe in second chances, but when you say you don't, well, now you have to create a world for second chances, don't you? If you're going to burn her, I'm going to burn you, and let's hope we all get second chances, because I'll take her back and I'll take all of them back. So if I was their boss, I fire all of them publicly and I bring her back. Against my bosses, literally, I tell my bosses I'm hiring her. You will have to fire me and then refire her. And they might have. They might say, oh, Larry, you're fired. And so she. Well, she's already fired, so who cares? I lose my job, but I become a hero. Someone hires me. Someone picks me up. I'm probably in a TV show. So, yes. Yes. Hope that was helpful. Yes. All right. John says, hello, Larry. What will stop people from only looking at the tool used to conduct the violence and start looking at the root cause of the behavior? I would think family instability would be a common root cause. No, I don't think those. Oh, hold on. I'm trying to be clear. Are you saying, okay, let me make sure I understand your question. Are you saying the reason why people are looking at the tool or the, okay, you're saying the root of the violence is family instability. I think that's what you're saying, John. You're saying, how do we look? Yes, there are many ways around this. The first thing is for someone to accept that it's family instability. That's a hard thing to look at. That is a part of it, but it isn't just family instability. That's true, but it isn't only that. It's a cultural issue, right? Was it John who was saying that, or was it Matt? I forgot. I forgot who said that. One of you commented on the idea of, you know, the society us being in trouble. I forgot which one of you. I apologize. But yes, that is, it's a whole thing to include the family, but not only the family, right? It's many things. It's the idea. Avi brought it up. Everyone's getting a check so they can sit in their butt. So I got no reason to go out and do anything. So this gangbanger guy says I can be a tough guy if I go out here and beat people up. Okay, I'll go do that because I'm lost. And when people are lost, what's that old saying? If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. That's this literally in practice. I'm not standing for anything. So okay, I'll fall for whatever gang thing you say because I'm lost. So I'm in. Yes. So I do think it is that, but it isn't only that, is my point. It is many things to include that. And a lot of that is our society. A lot of that is war on poverty, war on drugs. This is hurting the family, right? Addiction, the prison industrial complex, all of that stuff is hurting our society and our family. All of it is. So I would agree with all of that together. How do we start to stop looking at the gun? By giving them an actual answer, which is what I was talking about. Start getting people to start working. so they'll stop being violent. When they stop being violent, then who cares if they have guns? As we all know, it isn't the gun that just randomly go off. Someone pulls that trigger. Someone pulls that trigger. So, yes. All right, let me do this here. Jericho says, I'd like to put a plug. I'm for New York Volunteer Network. For the New York Volunteer Network. Okay. This organization just started in New York, preaching volunteerism as best practice, and they will need people. Please check it out in Facebook and follow. This is about leading by example. I agree, Jericho. Please put the link, post the link in either Facebook and or YouTube, and I'll pop it out. 100%. Please. Yes, please. Adam says, old men just drink their problems away. It's funny. Well, more of them will by default because they aren't physically as brave and as physically strong as the young men are, right? So more of them. Young men drink their problems away too, right? But yeah, right. Older men by percentage, more of them will do that because if I'm some gang leader, I don't want a 50-year-old dude who is you know, not in the best shape and maybe not prepared to go off and do crazy stuff because he's got a family, but a 17-year-old guy who's in great shape, fearless, has no family, I want that guy to do my evil bidding, right? Of course. So I'm going to grab him. I'm going to ignore a guy like me, and I'm going to go grab the youngsters. I'm never going to go shoot a teenage boy in the streets with kids around. That's never going to, I'll take a bullet first. So I will take a bullet before I do that. So I'm a really bad candidate for him. But that 17-year-old, good candidate. Redrick says, list the male role models. One, Larry Sharp. Thank you. Two, Bruce Lee. Yes. Three, Danny McBride. Look at you. Nice. I appreciate that. Matt says, the problem with being that person is that being that person is hard. Yes. You're right, Matt. It is. You have to make sacrifices, make hard decisions, and be motivated to be that person. Problem with society is more people would rather be followers than leaders. And until we have that step up and want to lead by example, it won't push the needle. I feel like there is a way around what you just brought up. And I think kind of what John was talking about too, and kind of what Terrence was talking about, all three together. And that is what I'm trying to do myself, which is be insanely transparent. I'm putting everything out there and I'm going to plug my book now because you've been asking about it. My book is very much autobiographical and I speak about a lot of my pain, a lot of my failures. And when I fell down, when I was weak, when I did stupid things, when I made mistakes, I talk about it often. And I try to show people, look, I'm just a guy who is trying to keep going and I'm very much open. And I think the more open you are, the less you are able, the more more transparent you are, the less susceptible you are to being blackmailed or pushed or you're less susceptible to that. Doesn't mean you can't be. Everybody can be bribed and blackmailed. This, we all can, but the odds are lower the more transparency you have. So I think to do that and to be that person, you don't want to try to be a godlike being. And many people do. The problem with that is those people always fall. I think you want to be much more of an open person. And a good example of that, I think now, is probably Oprah. Probably a good example. She has shown her audience all of her wrinkles, all of her scars. She has opened herself up to her audience that I can't think of anyone who's done it like that. Maybe some have, but she's opened everything. The people who follow Oprah, she can almost do no wrong because she has shown that she is just human. And now she's taken on for many people almost a deity-like position in their world because she's shown so much. And I think you find a lot of the most popular, some of the most popular celebrities of the day also show a lot. I mean, just show everything. And it makes them much more human and then eventually much more godlike, if that makes any sense, right? At one point, their humanity makes them godlike. I think the example you might see from a past was probably Gandhi. Gandhi was very open in who he was and was very vulnerable all the time. And I think that happened for him. I think that's your best chance of making that happen, Matt. I'm trying myself. So yes. All right. Francis says, America is worth saving. and it will take young people like you to do it. Yes, not like me, though. I think you hope you took it to somebody else, not me. I'm not young anymore. I'm young enough. Young enough. But I'm not young. Absolutely. So, Sanders says, research cosmic geography and see why we need to fight to keep a liberty and freedom alive. Cosmic geography. Okay, there we go. I will check that out. Write it down. I don't know what that is. I'm going to find out, I guess. I will take your advice, Andrew. Thank you. All right. David said, this is the result of government coming in and playing daddy long ago in communities of color in the LBJ era by kicking dad out of home. Yes, you're correct. And again, I want to add on to that. It's not only that. It is that, and you add more stuff on top of that. You add the war on drugs. You add, yes, and it is a perfect storm of pain. You're correct. Yes. Is gun control in other countries also largely rooted in racism, or is that an American phenomenon? No, usually, remember, you got to remember something. Most other countries don't have a Second Amendment. They don't have a right to fire. That's not a thing of countries. In fact, I brought this up on my Free Solution Radio show about, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago. There was a question about Japan, and I'm going to get this wrong. I'm going to be about right. It's probably 1590s, maybe 1580s, in that area, 1580s, 1590s. My brain says 1588, but I may be off on that. It's the Taiho sword hunt. And it was a sword hunt that the Japanese did. They literally came by and said, we're taking all your weapons. The only people who can get weapons were the samurai class. It's on everyone else. If you had a weapon, it was punishable. You could only have a weapon if your lord or your warlord or your daimyo allowed you to have a weapon for a specific reason, like you were drafted into the army or something like that. Otherwise, you couldn't have a weapon. That's one of the reasons why so many martial arts were created in the East, because people physically couldn't have weapons. The leaders would take the weapons away from them. They physically could not have weapons. Didn't exist. So the people had to find other ways of fighting other than using weapons because they physically couldn't have them. So having weapons across the world is not seen in many countries as a right. So I really think that, you know, that's an American issue, that you're supposed to have it. In other countries, they wouldn't worry about the minorities having weapons because nobody who's not in charge has weapons. So by default, the minority doesn't have any weapons. They're not in power, whatever the minority is. So they don't get weapons. Of course not. So I think that part is much more Americanized than anything else. So, JRM, Larry, come back on my podcast. The more you know. Oh yes, I remember. Most of that. Thank you. Yes. Reach out. We'll schedule something. Absolutely. Reach out. 100%. All right. I'm going to bug you about something if I could, guys. And I appreciate this. Do me a favor. Support my sponsors. We're talking about respect. We're talking about purpose. We're talking about love, happiness. Take the human respect test. Click that link that's right there in the description. Click the link. Go there. Take the human respect test. My sponsors, look, they love it. They want you to do it. It makes them happy, and they sponsor the show. And I haven't been doing as many shows, been writing my book. So you guys got to help me out now. Go take that test. Go take it. Finish it. And when you're done finishing it, share it throughout all your social media. Do that to make my sponsors happy. Otherwise, they're going to be mad. They're going to cancel me. If they cancel me, I'm not going to have any money to do all the other cool stuff you see me do. So not just that. If you look in that link, there's a link tree. I'm sorry, not that link. If you look in the description, there's a link tree link. Click that. Podcasts are there. Sharpway clips are there. Lots of all cool little things are there for you to check out. That way, TikTok is there. It's all there for you to check out. Where the book is, that's there too. So you check all those things out by clicking those links and checking that out. So please do that. Also, of course, like, comment, and share. As always, if you like what I'm doing and you want to support me in a financial way, please do so. Patreon.com/Sharpway. Throw me $10 a month, $25 a month, whatever you can do. Help keep this going. If you missed it, help me out either by liking, commenting, and sharing, or by sponsoring, or by taking the human respect test. All three of those are awesome. Please do one of those. It does matter. It helps the show. The last thing I'll bug you on is subscribe to my YouTube channel. If I get canceled off of Facebook, I need to be on YouTube. They cancel my Larry Sharp stuff. Got to be on YouTube. Head over to the Sharp Way, not Larry Sharp YouTube, the Sharp Way YouTube. subscribe so that I can see you there. And so if something goes wrong, I can pop up there again. Twitter's not bad either. I appreciate both. So, all right, I'm going to grab a couple of these if I can. All right. James says the most famous sword hunt was ordered by Toyotomi Hideyoshi, 1588. Yes, I was right. Look at that. That's not too bad, guys. I remembered 1588. Yes, it is the sword hunt, 1588, by Toyotomi Hideyoshi, who would eventually be killed. I think he'll be killed. Yeah, and then that will then begin the Tokugawa age of Japan. Yes. Larry, you are showing the compassion in the LP. Yes. Too many libertarians say things like abolish everything public and they don't give a solution. You should get a more and more popular podcast. Jay, I'm trying. Like, I'm trying to make things better. I'm not trying to be the most, I don't know, purest guy in the world. I'm not doing that. Yes. Jay says, thank you for banning pineapple pizza. I can now start my underground pineapple pizza empire. See, I'm breaking my own rules. I'm going to create a black market in the pineapple pizza. People are going to make the streets killing people with a pineapple pizza. Ah, I'm messing up. I'm allowing my own personal problems to seep into my politics. Ah, Susan says, authentic and successful is incredibly appealing. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Yes. More people should be that way. Absolutely. Yes, 100%. It's definitely more, it's a better way of making things happen. Yes. Adam says, by the way, Larry, what are your thoughts on Eric Adams? I think he has a very good chance of winning tomorrow. For those of you who don't know, Eric Adams is running for mayor of New York City. If you're a New York City guy or gal, you obviously know that. But otherwise, you may not. I actually called this, I called this early on. 4 or 5 years ago, I saw Eric Adams speak at an event in Manhattan when he was Brooklyn Borough president. And when I saw him speak, I said, that guy's next mayor. I forgot. I did it on a show or something. I actually talked about him once before. I should have remembered so I could put it up because I actually called him being the next mayor. I didn't see Yang in the picture. If Yang doesn't win, I think Eric Adams will win. That's my gut. And one of the reasons why is because Eric Adams is the closest thing to a Republican the Democrats have. And remember, in New York City, just so you know how New York City works, if you're a full-on communist, you're Democrat. If you're only a socialist, you're Republican. That's how we work in New York City. Oh, you said regular socialist? Yeah, just regular socialist. Oh, Republican. So that's how that works. You're a full-on communist? Full-on communist. Democrat. That's kind of how we roll here. So while he's still a Democrat, he is the most middle of the road of the New York City Democrats. For you Republicans out there, you're going to be shocked if you heard his policies. But I'm saying we're being relative here. Understand what city I live in. Relatively, he is the most middle of the road Democrat there is, which is why I think after de Blasio was a full-on communist, just that's who he was. So now that we've had that, I think Eric Adams is in New York City, a pendulum switch back. Former police officer, Manhattan Borough president, and now talking about criminal justice reform and also ending crime, you know, fighting crime and criminal justice reform. So my gut says if Yang doesn't win, I think he wins. I think one of those two. That's my view. I've met him before. He's not a bad guy. Not a bad guy. Of course, I'm voting for Stacey Pressman. But Eric Adams is not a bad guy. So, yes. All right. So, I can keep grabbing here. Thank you, Jericho. This is the Facebook page for New York Volunteer Network. You guys have a chance. You can see it on Facebook. Come to my Facebook page. See that there. Click it or cut and paste it there. And check out what Jericho's doing. Appreciate that. Thank you, Jericho, for the work you're doing. I appreciate that. Yes. All right. Let me grab a couple more if I can. Yes. Pressman for mayor. Absolutely. Susan, de Blasio is the worst mayor ever. I look, I'm not against to be for New York. There's going to be a left-leaning mayor. I get it. There's going to be one. It's fine. That's how New York works. Okay. I'm with you. He just was incompetent and just didn't care at all. Yes. James says, Larry Sharp, you're gifted with a great memory for dates. I'm always impressed. I wish it was better with dates. I sure struggled getting my BA in history. Well, I've said this before. Some of you may remember. I have a thing called synesthesia. Synesthesia is the way the brain looks at things differently. Generally speaking, it will match, like it'll mix color with sound or smell with taste. It'll mix some of your senses together in some way, shape, or form. It's a common thing. My oldest daughter does not have it. My youngest daughter does. My youngest daughter, she sees numbers and colors and colors and numbers. They mix, like each number has a color has a number, and she matches in her head. I see time like steps in my head. If you could imagine a fighter pilot who has like a display on the screen, that's how my brain sees time. I see it in literally colored steps. So that's how I can kind of guess where the thing is, because I know kind of like what level it is on in my head. That's why I tend to be good with dates, because I see time in steps. And that's why I was saying it was 1580, 1590. The step I saw was the step under 1600. And since I knew it was in that step, and that step in my head, 1600 is a step in my head. So I saw it under the step. That's how I knew it was in the area. And that jogged my memory to say 1588, because that was a number that was connected in under that step. Was that odd? I'm sorry. That's how my brain works. So people have that. Yes. Susan of New York City. Yes. My number two vote. Yes. He's authentic and knows how things work. This is accurate. You're right, Susan. Yes, absolutely. I'm not a Democrat, so I can't vote in a primary. But if I was voting in a primary, he would be on my list, because New York City, by the way, uses ranked choice voting. So obviously Stacey Peterson would be my number one. Obviously, if I was voting in, if we had ranked choice voting like that. Number one. But I would put Eric Adams in my top five. I would. If I had to pick, he'd be one of them. I agree. He would be one of them. Yes. All right. Let's see if I can do that. We need someone that looks out for upstate New York along with the city. Agreed. And the best way, Alice, to look out for all of the counties of New York is to respect each county as a separate entity. That's the best way to respect each one of them to be the best way. Yes, I really think that's the issue. If you accept that each one is valuable, each county is important. People live usually, unless they're trapped for some reason, where they want to live and they like that lifestyle, let them have it. They should. That's the best way. And letting more money stay in the county and less going to Albany first, so that you can pick and choose the things that you care about in your community and focus on those that work best for you, versus me in, you know, Albany deciding, I know what's right. I'm the best guy in the world. But no, I'm just human like anybody else is. And the best part is, if you look out for them and you don't try to enforce your will upon them and they trust you, when they make a mistake, they'll ask for help. And if a county's asking the governor for help, the governor should step in. The county's saying, we messed this up. We don't know how to do this. Governor, help us. Okay, you have asked for my assistance. Yes, I'm happy to help. But if you're good, you're good. Why should I step in? Why should I start pointing my finger at you and deciding that I know what's right when maybe I don't? And even if I do, let's say I do know what's right. Let's say, Alice, I know what's right for you. Let's say it's true. I've got the right answers. If you don't want them, you're not going to hear them because you don't want them. So how about I gain some trust with you so that when I give you suggestions, because in this fictitious case, I know better for whatever the situation is, you'll go, oh, yeah, governor's right. Let's do that. What's the old saying? Good ideas shouldn't require force. I agree with that. They shouldn't. So if I've got the right answer, I should be able to show you and you go, yeah, that we're going to do what the governor said. That makes sense. We'll do that. That's my hope, right? I think that's the best way to be looking out for each other. Guys, again, if you would do me a favor, subscribe to my YouTube page. It does matter. I appreciate it. Check out the human respect test. It does matter. It makes my sponsors happy. And of course, like, comment, share. I know I've been light recently on shows. I'm still going to get my book out. I'm going to be working on it again tonight, which is why I'm about to bail on you now. Thank you so much for all the things you've been doing, all the time you've been coming back to see my show. I appreciate it. I'm trying to get my book out as fast as I can so that we can still get it out by next month, and that you can pre-order if you want it next month. We hope so, to make that happen. I really do think that our movement and this show, I hope, is not really about liberty and freedom. It's about happiness. But the only way to get there is through liberty and freedom. If we have happier people, we will have less violence. If we have happier people, more people will stay in our state, more people will grow their families and their businesses. If we have happier people, we'll have more people staying, having more family, being closer together, doing more cool things, supporting volunteer networks. All those things will happen if we have happier people. That's what I'm talking about. Guys, thank you so much for tonight. I appreciate it. I will see you all very soon.